Amen. Thank you. Head to the book of Hebrews again, if you would, tonight. We'll stand here in just a moment. Well, come on, stand. You're already up. I didn't give you a warning ahead of time. So we'll head right there. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's house, encouraging to pastors and to guest preachers to see people come back after church in the morning, go home, get a good nap. How many of you got a good nap? Okay. The rest of you are in trouble then, I say, or I'm in trouble, one or the other. Got my work cut out for me, but I'm glad you're back tonight. I want to say again, thank you, church, for your kindness to my wife and I, and all that you've done for us and asking us to come. We were privileged, honored to be a part of the conference the last couple days. Appreciate all the work Brother Mason and his wife and so many in the church put into that. And so we enjoyed ourselves and had a good time. Our church, we have 19 real regular singles in our church, 22 if we can get those other three over to the faithful side. But we have quite a few as well. And it's a needed ministry in your church. Aren't you grateful for the young people that you have in your church? And what a good thing it is, a vibrant thing to have youth in the church. And then they also are willing to help and serve and work. That's a real blessing. I tell these young people all the time, I was telling them about a young lady that one of our ladies had went on a missions trip to Guyana. One of the single girls, she came back. I don't know, she's 21, 22. I hope she's not watching on live stream. We have an afternoon service, so they might be watching the evening service here. But she came back. She was giving her testimony. She was talking about how they were down there serving the Lord, and they were tired, and they were going to get a chance to go get coffee, and they were really excited, and they got to the coffee place, and it was closed. And she made the comment. She said, we were really needing a pick-me-up and everything else. And I said to her after, I said, for goodness sakes, you're 21. Okay, try this at 52, and then we'll talk, all right? Appreciate our young people, and had a good time with them, had a great time just being around them, and the fellowship that we had. Hebrews chapter 4. What effect does the Word of God have on you? You know, you can sit here tonight, according to the Word of God, we'll read a passage here, but you can sit here tonight and hear the preaching of the Word of God and it not profit you at all. And boy, we can get into that habit. I tell people all the time, my parents, of course, had me in church 9 months before I took my first breath. All right, so I've been in church my whole life. And so you can get into a routine, it can become a habit. Be something you just do, and before long you're hearing another message, you're hearing more scripture, and you go home and nothing's changed, and a month passes and a year passes and 5 years passes. We don't want that. You don't want that. And that's not the way God intended it. But let's just read a passage here, and then I'm going to preach just simple thought to you this evening. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore, there's that word again, so guess what we're going to do in a minute. We will go back for a minute into chapter 3, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Father, bless the message. These are practical, simple thoughts tonight, and I pray that it'll help these people. What a blessing they have been to me and my family. And I think often of this church and the blessing they are to my parents, and that this place is here for them to come and hear preaching and fellowship and serve. And I'm grateful for this place, this preacher, these people. I pray that I can be a little bit of a blessing using your word, that you can take with the Holy Spirit and help your church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I'm not a real good preacher, but I'm going to give you an amen moment just in just a second. You ready? The Word of God is right.
Amen.
Good. All right. Might be the only one I get, but we'll start off on a good foot. The Word of God is right. the preaching, and I say it this way to our people, can be right. And you can get up and have the right preaching out of this great book, the promises that are in it, the profit that comes from it is all there. But if you do not mix it with faith, it has no profit. Faith without works is what? You got to take what you're hearing, take what you're learning, take what you're receiving, and put it into practice in your daily life. So when you hear preaching and God speaking to your heart, and I remind our folks all the time, I believe this clearly. A young man came to me and said, "Pastor, I want to have a great prayer life." He said, "How do I live a life and have a great prayer life that God will bless?" And I said, "Here's the key to a great prayer life. Pray prayers God wants to answer." That's right. Hey, you pray the things that God wants to answer, you live an answered prayer life. Because God wants to do that. So you find out in the Word of God what God wants from you. You find out from the Word of God what kind of young man you're supposed to be, what kind of husband you're supposed to be, what kind of father you're supposed to be. And then you ask God to help you do those things. And then you start taking what you're learning and mix it with faith. I'm going to step out. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to live the way God says. I'm going to do things that what God says. And it'll be of great profit to you. But if you can sit in church and hear message after message after message, and the Word of God can be preached and it's pricking your heart and trying to get a hold of you, and you go home and you don't put any of it into practice, it has no value. We are never supposed to be just really great Bible scholars. Okay? Now, you need to know the Word of God. The Bible tells us to study the Word of God, but there's a purpose behind the study. And I tell people at our church, I said, listen, you can go down to some crazy secular universities now that have theology departments that know more about certain things in the Bible than I do. They know certain things, facts and all the stuff behind it, and they can give you all the history. But you know why it's not profitable for them? Because they've never mixed it with faith. And they never used what God has said. Now, if you were to take this tonight and we were to look at chapters 3 and chapters 4 of Hebrews, you're going to find three themes that are through both chapters. You're going to find a theme of hardness of heart, hardening of your heart. We'll talk about that here in just a minute, four times. He says unbelief. There's a danger of unbelief and consequences of unbelief. That's five times. And then he talks about rest that can only come from God. He mentions that nine times. So people say to me, "Brother Glenn, I have a really hard time understanding the Word of God." Just read it. And especially when you come to parts where God repeats himself multiple times, pay attention. And so when you read this and you see that he warns and he reminds that the problem is that when you heard the word and the word was preached as it was unto others and as it was to other people, the problem is it wasn't a profit to them, not because of the preaching and not because of the word of God, but because some people decided we're not going to mix it with faith. Now you can take this book and you can say, "I want to be a godly husband," and you can study this book and get all the information and learn everything you're supposed to be as a godly husband. And you should want to be a godly husband. But until you take what you've learned and read and heard preached and decide, "I'm going to put that into practice in my life," you're never going to be a godly husband. And then you're going to go through your life and say, "For 30 years I've wanted to be a godly husband. I wonder why you weren't a godly husband." Ladies, don't go down this path, Pastor Auger. You can say, "I want to be a godly woman. I want to be a good wife. I want to learn how to be submissive. I want to follow God's word and being the wife. And I can gain all the knowledge and go to all the conferences and hear all the podcasts. I can do all this stuff." But if you don't take it and put it into practice, you don't mix it with faith. Step out by faith. Boy, man, in the day and time we live in, to have the Christian homes that we're supposed to have, the marriages that we're supposed to have, you have to go in opposition of about everything our culture tells us to do. You're going to have to step out by faith that God's right and they're wrong. By the way, if you start comparing track records, there's not much comparison. All right? So God's way's right. And God's way works, and we have proof over and over, not just the Word of God, which is always right, but we have history to back us up on these things, and yet somehow we can't seem to mix it with faith. We can't seem to take the next step. So let me give you a couple warnings he gives us in this chapters of 3 and 4. Go back to chapter 3 for just a minute. And he gives us an example, a caution about the hardening of hearts. In chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief," we're coming back to that in a minute, "in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Man, that's pretty plain speech. Harden not your hearts. Now, they understood this example, right? They knew the history. They knew the story. They knew what had happened in the Bible of them coming out of Egypt. They were headed toward the promised land. They sent the spies in. The spies returned. And they confirmed what God had already told them. This is a great place. This is a wonderful place to head to. This is a place that's worth all the time that it took to get here. And they came back. But then you had the story every time I say story, I'm reminded, Brother Mason, don't say story, Bible account. I got to do that. That was good. I got that from him the other day. I need to use that. Bible account, that's good. And he said the ten spies came back, of course, and they said, "Hey, listen, it is true. Everything God says is true, but no way we can have it. No way we can have it." Listen, you ever been around somebody and when you get to certain things in Scripture and they'll say things like, "Now, wait a minute, let's be logical about this." And the logic came back and they said, there's walled cities and they're too big for us. I mean, we've just come out of Egypt. We're not prepared for war. We don't have all the weaponry we need. We don't have everything we need to take down these walled cities. Listen, we got a problem. Logically, this is foolishness. We just can't go on. The walls are too big. There was fear. There was fear. Hey, listen, they're giants. There's giants there. They're giants. Their perspective was that, of course, they were grasshoppers in their sight. And ultimately, it all comes down to a simple choice. And ultimately, everything that you have to do comes down to the same simple choice. Every message preached is supposed to bring you to a point of decision. You either decide to obey God or disobey God. You either leave right with God or not right with God. You either are challenged to change something that the Holy Spirit's convicting you of and you get right with Him before you leave, or you again leave the services having heard another message, having heard the Word of God that was profitable for some, but not you, because you did not mix it with faith. And friend, I'm here to tell you, every time it happens, your heart gets a little harder. Harden not your hearts. And this hardening sets in, and they had the word preached. They knew what God wanted. They knew what God had told them to do. And they said, "No, we're not going to mix that with faith." And the result was the hardness now of their heart. You guys are great, by the way, preaching too. I haven't noticed this since I've been here, but if you pastor a church as long as I have, going on 17 years, Brother Merrick, let's see, you're going on probably 24 years. Do you know that from standing up here, when you are with the same people all the time, you can watch hardening of heart happen? You can, people's facial expression. You ever hear somebody say, "I thought I hit it really well"? No, no, no. It was, you ever hear somebody say it was written all over your face? Yeah. You know, you could see it in their body language. You could see the anger start to rise. And all you're trying to do is preach the truth. And all you're trying to do is tell them what God wants them to do. All you're trying to do is make a profitable for their life. And yet, because they won't mix it with any faith, they harden up. They harden their hearts. And the result of that, this is pretty plain. The hardness of it was your carcass falls in the wilderness. You stumble around in many of our good, strong, independent, fundamental Baptist churches have people setting them that are stumbling around just until they die because of the hardness of their heart. You want to be cautious when you start feeling a hardening. Whenever you feel like you've went for a long time and the Lord hasn't stirred anything in you. When you haven't felt convicted, when you haven't asked and got with the Lord, Lord, what do I need to work on? What things do I need to improve? What things should I do better? Lord, search me and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Be careful of the hardness of your heart. Before long, the preaching that everybody else is getting something out of is not profitable for you because your heart is getting harder and harder and harder. He mentions also here the thing about unbelief. You know, chapter 3 again, let's just read this verse again. Chapter 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief causes you to depart from God. Unbelief keeps you from the great blessings that God had promised you. Look at chapter 3, yes, verse 18 and 19. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Now, you need to make sure you understand the context of what was said here. This is not unbelief in what God said. They knew from the spies' reports that what God said was right. The unbelief was that God could do what God said he would do. Y'all following me? Be careful you don't sit in a church like this and amen the preaching and get behind the preacher and agree with everything he says, but then walk out with unbelief that God can actually do what he actually just said he would do. That was the problem. They heard the same spies. They heard the same reports. The reports from even the guys that said, we can't go in, verified everything that God had said was true. And yet there wasn't enough belief to believe that God could follow through on what he said. Unbelief kills you. Years ago, my assistant pastor, Tony, was preaching for me, and I was there and I wasn't feeling well, I believe, that night. And so he preached for me, and he was preaching a little bit on pride. And he made this statement. You ever read the Bible or heard a preacher, and all of a sudden it's like you've heard this 1,000 times, but it finally made sense? That happens to me, and I hope that happens to you. I hope that's part of our growth process with the Lord. And so he's preaching this, and he really emphasized that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. I've heard that verse, preached that verse, read that verse. But several years ago when he preached that, he spent some time really developing that thought that God resisteth the proud. Do you understand? God doesn't just tolerate you. He doesn't put up with you. He pushes against you. There's resistance of God against you in your pride. Can I tell you what unbelief at the core is? Pride. And now, you don't just have a God that's sitting up there going, oh, we make God into this big ball of mush. And we've let that culturally sink into us. The reality is God says, oh, wait a minute. I've told you what I want you to do. I've given you the Word of God. I've given you preaching to get there. I've tried to warn you all this, and you're still resisting. You're still saying no. You're still in your pride saying that you're smarter than me. I'm now resisting you. You're in a bad spot when God's resisting you. By the way, you don't win when God resists you. There's not enough to push God out of the way and get your way. And God does that. And so he warns us about that. Their unbelief left them wandering in the wilderness until many of them died. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm not going to belabor this because I think you're all in agreement. Do you believe and agree that sin is deceitful? You've got to understand everything that sin promises you is for one purpose. Harm, death, destruction. Now, don't miss this because the Bible tells us there is pleasure of sin in a season. Okay, so sin delivers some pleasure for a season. But I'm here to tell you every sin always ends the same way. Hurt, destruction, and death. You ever wonder why we keep falling for it? The deceitfulness of sin? That it tricks us again and again and again? It never comes with full exposure of all of its consequences. It never lays everything out. It deceives us with its promises, its excuses, what it calls itself. And yet all of it can be labeled fun, and at the end of it is disease and addiction and loss of self-worth, and we could go on and on and on about all the consequences of sin. And unbelief and sin are deceitful. I read this, a quote from someone, I should have wrote down who I read a message about, but they made the point that unbelief and sin are deceitful because when you don't believe God, we don't just stop believing, we start believing a lie. That's the deceitfulness of sin. This can make me happy. When everything in reality, no, we have facts and proof that it won't. Everybody thinks that, oh, if I get another drink, I like old Westerns. Do you ever notice in old Westerns, nobody has any courage without a drink? Now, if I was going to go for the fight of my life, I'm not sure I'd want to be tipsy. But we live in a society that tells you everything's better at the end of a long day with a drink. We got all kinds of proof that that's not true. But we believe it. As a society, they believe it. I don't know what it is in Missouri, Illinois. They're doing everything they can to legalize any and all drugs they can. I mean, we're headed down a freight train. I mean, we are headed toward legalizing hardcore drugs in Illinois. They're wanting that. I mean, we already, I don't know where you are in Missouri, but of course, marijuana is legalized everywhere. We got all statistics. Even all of the statistics from the counselors and the highway patrol and everybody are saying marijuana is a gateway drug to harder drugs. This is not the right steps. These are bad steps. And we have all the data to prove it. And yet people are still so deceived. The only way I can be happy is by smoking my marijuana. Deceitfulness of sin. And we're tricked and fooled by these things. And it's not that we just stopped believing what God says. We started believing a lie. Right. And that's what sin does. Sin hardens your heart. Sin leads you to a place of unbelief. Let me close simply by pointing out the third thing that he mentions. More than he mentions hardness of heart and more than he mentions unbelief. Nine times he talks about this rest, a place of rest that he has for you. Now, what you're looking for tonight, God has already provided for you. It's already provided for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the hope that you're looking for can only be found in one place. and that's Jesus Christ. It's not going to be found in a drink. It's not going to be found in a drug. It's not going to be found in a new woman or a new man. It's going to be found in Jesus Christ. That's the hope. And he's already provided it for you. This place of rest has already been provided for you. He mentions that many times in this, and for sake of time, in a minute, we'll read two or three of them. But the promised land, I think everybody would agree, and even all of these people would agree, the promised land was so much better than Egypt. This place of bondage and suffering. You ever read that story, Bible account? You've ruined me. That's what you've done. You ever read the Bible account of what happened? And they come to the place, literally these people get to the place, would God we were back in Egypt. You ever, that blows my mind.
Right, amen.
I'm thinking, what? But we blame them for having short memories, but I don't think our memories are much longer than theirs.
Right.
I mean, God had provided for them. Not only did he get them out of bondage, but he said, hey, I'm going to load you up with all the Egyptian stuff. They're going to start giving you things just to get out. And then you're going to travel, and they're going to change their mind. They're going to come chase you, and I'm going to put this wall between you, and I'm going to confuse them until I open the Red Sea, and you're going to walk across on dry ground, and then I'm going to close the sea up and drown all of their army. People say, well, the sea was only at 6 inches during that time. What a miracle. God drowned a whole army in 6 inches of water. Listen, hey, God, they do this, and then, I mean, they're watching the pillar of fire, and they're seeing the cloud, pillar of a cloud. They're getting water out of a rock. They get up in the morning, and there's manna. They get up tomorrow, and there's manna. And they asked for leeks and onions. What? Man, it would have been better if we'd have just been back here. It'd have been better if we just, but yet when they get the report of the promised land, they say, well, man, there's, look at this cluster of grapes. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have grapes than leeks and onions.
Amen.
God's promised us cities we haven't built. God's promised wells we haven't dug. God's promised fields we didn't plant, vineyards we didn't plant. God's promised all those things. And all we have to do is step out by faith. We have to mix what God said with faith. And he said, I want you to enter into this place of rest. They knew the promised land was real, that it was all they could have ever dreamed of. That God had told them, he had prepared it for them. He would go with them. He would go before them. He would provide it for them. But the hardened heart of fear led to unbelief that eventually resulted in their anger. You ever see people get mad at the preacher for just preaching? Well, preacher's out to get me. You think too much of yourself. We don't think about you as much as you think we think about you. I told somebody one day, they were mad at me. They said, you're just thinking about me all the time. You're out to get me. And I said, brother, can I be honest with you? He said, yeah. I said, you got about 3 seconds on my prayer list today. Then I got in trouble for not thinking enough of him. Like, I prayed for you today, but I prayed through my prayer list of my church members, and I do a prayer list. I visualize where my people sit. All of y'all sit pretty much in the same spot. I made some girl mad today because I took her spot. This morning, she packed her stuff and left. Brother Merrick says, she's leaving. I see her leaving. And now I'm looking around. She's not in here. I'm trying to find her. She's not here. She was in the choir, but I'm like... So in my mind, as I do my prayer time, I go through that. And I look where people, I remember where people sit in our church, and I pray for them. And I go through that. Yet, boy, this guy was mad. Watch now. And that hardening of a heart and that unbelief that leads to this anger eventually leads to death. I often think, do you reckon any of those people during the 40 years of the wilderness thought, we should have risked it? Should have took a chance. Should have just believed God. Because we're wandering around out here. We don't even get new clothes out of the deal. These won't wear out. Ladies ain't getting new shoes. They won't wear out. And we're just going to keep doing this until we die. Because what God told us was not profitable because we didn't mix it with faith. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read a couple verses and we're done. Chapter 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. Jump down to verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. I said to the men, I believe yesterday, I don't remember if it was to the men or to the group, this: God never intended for you to figure life out on your own. You ever hear somebody come in and say, I'm just trying to figure it out? That was never God's plan. God's plan was to give you his word and for you to trust him and just do what he says. Take this doctrine that is preached to you, this Bible that is preached to you, and mix it with faith and watch the end result. But you start hardening your heart, it'll lead before long to unbelief. You ever seen someone harden their heart to the point that when you go and talk to them, they'll get to the place, they'll verbalize it, well, I just don't believe that anymore. The church is full of hypocrites. You know what I say to that every time they say it? Of course it is. Of course it is. Everywhere you go is hypocrites. They don't become non-hypocrites just because we go to church. Yeah. You know why we're here? To study the Word of God. To have our hypocrisy exposed. To be challenged to change what we're hypocritical. Boy, I just about said hypocrisy about. About. That's what we're about. And I said, hey, you're coming to the right place, man. You're surrounded by all of us. We're just trying to take the Word of God. And we're trying to make sure our hearts aren't so hard that we can't receive it. And then we try to make sure we don't let unbelief slip in so that we can take it and put it into faith and step out by faith. When you, by faith, accept what God has finished, his work, Christ on the cross, it is finished. Here comes the veil torn in two. Often, my imagination kicks off on me when I read the Bible. But I often think of some mother sitting in that seat with her child, and all of a sudden there's this curtain starts getting ripped, and now they're looking into the Holy of Holies that nobody's supposed to ever see. Cover your eyes. Now we can go boldly into the throne of grace. The work's complete. It's done. It's finished. But it doesn't have any value to you if you don't mix it with faith. You have a choice. We all have a choice to harden our hearts, to head down a path of unbelief. Because here's what we do. We use all kinds of flowery language, and we accuse the world of constantly changing what words mean. But we're really good at it in our churches too. Oh, it's not, Lord, like, I don't believe you. I'm just not sure yet. That's unbelief. God, that's me telling you I don't believe what you just said. Y'all get that, right? And so you have a choice. You can harden your heart. You can have this unbelief. Or you can take God's word by faith and enter into, for our salvation, an eternal rest. That I've put an end to all the work I'm going to try to do this thing. I've trusted in His finished work. I don't get up every day and work to earn my salvation or keep my salvation. Well, I'm grateful we don't have to live that way. I lived next door to a guy. He said he could lose his salvation. And I said, well, how do you know you're saved today? He said, well, so far I'm saved. I said, what if I get you to curse? I said, do you lose it if you curse? They don't know. They don't know when they lose it. They just know that you can lose it. What a terrible way to live. What a terrible way. I've entered into a restful place. Why? Because I've taken God at His word and I've mixed it with faith. And the end result is I get to enter into rest. Do you know what you need to do in our Christian walk? We need to just take God at His word. And we need to get into His word and start reading it. And God says, this is what I want you to do. And you just mix that with a little faith. And suddenly you're getting into a better life. I didn't say an easy life. I didn't say a life with no troubles or no problems. They had troubles and problems in the promised land. But man, the promised land's better than Egypt. Come on. I'd rather fight for my own freedom than go back and be beaten every day as a slave. I'd rather have some grapes than leeks and onions. I don't ever want leeks and onions. I'm ruling that out. But you just have to take God at His word. You have to mix faith with it. If you don't, hardness of heart's going to set in. Before long, unbelief sets in. I'll finish with this thought. I preached to the young people that were here that Lot had vexed his righteous soul. And my warning to them was, be careful you don't put yourself in a spot that you're in Lot's stage of life and you're looking back and all you have is vexation. Be careful, church. We've heard the Word of God preached a bunch of times. We know the truth. We know what we're supposed to do. Be careful that you don't ignore it. Just walk out of here. Don't mix any faith with it. And then 30 years from now, you look back and you look at the life you could have had. And you live a vexed life. If you read 1 Peter, the Bible tells us about Lot. He vexed his own soul. He did it to himself. And you say, Brother Glenn, I love this church and I love Pastor Merrick's preaching and I hear and I gain knowledge and man, I've learned so much. Good. But it better not stop there. You better mix some of it with faith. And you should be different. Pastor Merrick should look at this congregation. I don't want to put him on the spot to do this, but he should look at this congregation and who his prayer life say, this family needs help in this area. This family needs help with this. This group is struggling with that. And I'm going to preach on that this year. And you know what he ought to get from everybody? People that hear the Word of God, go home and mix it with faith. And next year, he ought to have to preach on something else. Because you've heard it, and you've mixed faith with it now, and you're different. You're not the same person that has to hear the same kind of preaching because you've hardened your heart and unbelief, and he's gotten to the point he can't break through for anything. And here's what will happen. The Word of God that moves you, the Word of God that gives you knowledge right now, eventually you won't even believe this. When you don't mix it with faith. Unbelief will set in, it'll harden your heart. And God says, I'll look down and I'll see your carcasses dead in the wilderness. It was never God's plan to wander around with them for 40 years in the wilderness. It was not his desire. And that's not God's desire for you. Some of you say, "Preacher, I'm in this vicious cycle." Yep, I get it. Time to take what you've heard, put some faith with it now, and let's move forward into the promised land, into the place of rest. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I love the simplicity of the Bible. Boy, it is so clear. The problem is not the Word. Mm-mm. The problem is us and our flesh. And boy, it's for me too, Lord. These messages are good for me. That I need to read your Word, study your Word. I preach your Word, prepare for messages. But I need to take it now and make sure I put some faith with it. Mix faith with it. Okay. I don't want to just gain knowledge. That's not the point of this. It's to help us move forward for you. Father, these dear people, this church, what a good church this is. What a great church this is. I have liberty to preach here. It's obvious that these folks have a hunger for right. And I know some may be struggling and going through some tough things. And some maybe have hardened their heart. Maybe tonight you've pricked that heart a little bit. Maybe some are right on the edge of unbelief that I just don't think God's word will work in this area or that area. And maybe tonight they could be encouraged to mix it with a little faith and step and move forward. What a great caution in this passage to remind us to be careful that if we just continue to hear and put it off and we don't mix it with faith, it's a tragic ending. Help that one that may be here lost. Help that one that may be here that just needs to mix the preaching with faith. Would you stand with me tonight and your heads bowed, eyes closed? I'm not going to prolong invitation. If pianist is going to go ahead and just start playing. If the Lord spoke to you, the altar's available.